As a cisgender, white, middle-class male, I am pretty used to walking into spaces and being accepted. In our society, what I say carries weight merely because of the color of my skin and my gender. And if you're thinking to yourself, that's not fair, you're correct. It's not. It's not at all. I don't have to worry about not being welcome at church or not being allowed into church leadership because of who I am. I don't have to stress over whether to use the bathroom that I identify with because I could be ejected or ridiculed or injured. I don't worry about walking to my car at night. I don't have to worry about the police because people who look like me aren't usually getting harassed or killed by them. I don't have to worry about getting locked up or deported. I don't have to worry about getting adequate and evidence-based health care for my body. My life and my body are not up for debate in government. And it's not fair. It's so not fair that it should be criminal. The privilege that I and so many share shouldn't be privilege at all. It should just be how everyone is treated. Nothing at all should prevent someone from being treated with love and respect, equity and acceptance. In our first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, Philip is told by an angel to walk south to the road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so, like the good apostle he is, he goes. And here he finds a person from Ethiopia reading scripture. This person also happens to be a eunuch. Now, being a eunuch at this point in history could mean a lot of different things. It could mean anything from being born intersex or homosexual or transgender. It could mean that you were castrated by someone else so that you would perform more loyally as a slave or a prostitute. It also could mean that you castrated yourself as a way to worship a deity. Now, we don't know how this Ethiopian man became a eunuch, but it doesn't really matter because it would have made him ostracized and an outsider no matter what. Even with his higher status as a court treasurer, being a eunuch was a source of humiliation. It was a source of marginalization. And also, he would have been thought of as ritually impure. Even though he had gone to Jerusalem to worship in the temple, he would not have been allowed to go inside. He was neither male nor female, masculine nor feminine. A eunuch stood outside of the binary that gave society its law and order. And so at best, a eunuch was confusing, and at worst, a dangerous deviant. Or as Thomas Long has said, he belonged to the wrong nation, held the wrong job, and possessed the wrong sexuality. And not much has changed. We look out at our society, and there are so many people who refuse to understand the nuances of gender and sexuality. People who would rather deny others their God-given dignity rather than admit that something exists outside of their black and white thinking. There are those that find it far more acceptable to keep us safely separated from them. All of this was true then, and all of this is true now. Which is why we see in Acts that after sharing this scripture, the Ethiopian man identifies strongly with Jesus because he sees in Jesus another object of humiliation, another object of marginalization. And then he asks Philip, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He's asking a question that so many of us ask. Will I be accepted? Am I enough? Will I really belong? Am I safe with you? And so, what is preventing him from being baptized? Absolutely nothing. And I hope Philip adds in there, and also you don't need to worry. You are accepted. You are enough. You belong and you are safe. Philip and the Holy Spirit have met this person exactly where they are, offering hope and dignity and love. And what we see here in this example, in this story, is nothing less than what it looks like to live into a life with Christ. The whole scene is good news. God welcomes everyone as they are. Now, I'm a fan of Jay Holm, who's a transgender poet and fellow Anglican of the Church of England. And I've shared some of his poetry before, but he wrote some beatitudes for a queerer church that show the power of being radically welcoming, just like our God. He writes, "Blessed are the outcasts, the ostracized, the outsiders. Blessed are the scared, the scarred, the silent. Blessed are the broken, for they are not broken. Blessed are the hated, for they are not worthy of hate. Blessed are those who try, those who transform, who transition. Blessed are the queers who love creation enough to live the truth of it, despite a world that tells them they cannot. And blessed are those who believe themselves unworthy of blessing. What inconceivable wonders you hold." We are called to accept and to affirm and love people who are biologically or sexually or in any other way different than the dominant sociocultural norms. It's not a choice for us as Christians. It is not something that applies to us when we are only in church. It is a calling from God, and we must embrace it in every facet of our lives. And even here, as a welcoming and affirming community of faith, we need to ask ourselves frequently, and we need to ponder deeply and honestly, is there something, anything, preventing someone from finding Christ here? To becoming a full and active participant, to joining in with the people of God. And if there is, we need to change it. And the best way to go about this work is to start with listening. Privilege can make it really hard to truly listen. So many interrupt or take up space that they don't have to in a conversation. And the best advice I have ever received when having a conversation as someone with privilege was to ask yourself, does it need to be said? Does it need to be said by me? Does it need to be said now? You'd be surprised how much you can learn if you just hold back a little and listen. It is a hard time right now for so many in the world. And I pray that we can always be a safe space, a welcoming space that accepts all as children of God.